Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and caring for us. And we thank you for the love that you showed us through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just pray that you'll be with us today as we look into your word, that you'll change us to be more like him. In his name we pray. Amen. Just to kind of set the scene today, the message is going to be about a closer walk with Jesus. Closer walk with Jesus. And I'm speaking to myself first. I think the fathers are supposed to teach the children, but Jenna's been teaching me lately, and she shared this story with me that she had in her devotion. It kind of went along with what I'm speaking on today. No more circles. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. The pony had once been a part of a circus act, relegated to walking in circles day after day, year after year, doing whatever his handlers required of him. But after being retired from the traveling show, his new home became a lush, spacious pasture out in the country, abounding in opportunity for exploration and discovery. Yet even in this newfound place of freedom, he couldn't seem to escape his old pattern of life. He still continued walking mostly in circles, round and round, day in and day out, apparently not knowing any other way to operate. These circles represent the burden of unforgiveness, how it defines us, restrains us, controls us, until over time it becomes our legacy, our pattern of living, the first thing others notice about us. Though surrounded all sides by new spaces that each season of life brings, unforgiveness forces us to stay rutted, one-dimensional, thinly sliced, unable to experience the joys and freedoms that exist beyond the periphery of our closely guarded pain. It fits us with blinders, keeping us relegated to the memories of the offense done against us, to the artificial boundaries created by yesterday's disappointments, a circle of mundane, cheerless living that's far beneath the abundant life we have been created to enjoy. Always those circles, nothing but circles. Please, God, no more circles. I was just thinking this was specifically about unforgiveness, but it could be about anything. And I just think about looking at my own life. It could be unforgiveness, a grudge I have against someone that I'm circling around. It may be a bad habit, besetting sin, something in my life. And sometimes the sad part is I've been out in the pasture and enjoying the pasture, and sometimes something will happen and I'll get back in that circle again. And so, like I was saying, I'm speaking to myself today. I want to be able to get out the freedom that I have in Christ, to get away from those things that keep us in those circles over and over again, where we can live the abundant life. Closer walk with thee. And then the next one comes from Matthew 11:30. This is about Jesus. Jesus says, put on my yoke, take my yoke, for it's easy. My burden is light. And sometimes that verse didn't make sense to me. How can a yoke be easy? A burden is light. And I did a little bit of research. Basically, a yoke, first time I spelled it wrong, I put Y-O-L-K, and it was the wrong one. But it's Y-O-K-E. And basically, it's a piece of wood that connects two animals together. It can be different kind of animals, horses, mules, oxen, but they put them together and they work better together than separate. And there's kind of like a story. There's this new horse or this new oxen that this new ox that is new to the work, and he just goes through the field and just tears everything up. I remember when I was a kid, I hope it was my brother that did this and not me, but one of us were learning to drive the tractor, and you have to turn in these rows, and we turned a little bit short, or hopefully it was him turned short, and just wiped out some rows of tobacco that we were going through. So I think about us learning to drive, and I think about this new animal, and we're the animal when we become saved, when we're a Christian, and the yoke that the one that's older, the one that's experienced, is Jesus Christ. And we're to be yoked to him. And he's the one really that's doing the work. And we just are going beside him, staying close to him, watching him and being like him. So that's how our yoke can be easy, because I've seen in my own life and other people's life, I've seen what it's like when you're not yoked to Jesus Christ. And that's the pain, the hurt, the things that we think maybe are attractive to us and our old nature. Those things bring pain. But if we get close to Jesus, then we're going to have lightness. We're going to know that we're doing right because we're right there beside Jesus, and it's much more easy to do. Our burden is light. We're fulfilled. I was doing this past week on the way to school, I was listening to Erwin Lutzer, and he's doing a story on D.L. Moody, who he was an evangelist in the 1800s. And he had a fifth grade education. He was going to be a shoe salesman and try to go to Chicago and make $100,000, but he got saved. And instead of wanting to make $100,000, he gave his life to the Lord. And he had a fifth grade education. He couldn't read that well. He wasn't the best speaker, but he was sold out for Jesus Christ. Someone told him one time that this other guy said, "I've never seen anybody that's 100% sold out for Christ," and that was his mission. D.L. Moody wanted to be 100% sold out. So he was speaking one day, and someone came up at the end. He said he was speaking to thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions and thousands of people were getting saved. And the guy come up after he got through speaking. He said, "I don't see any connection between your abilities and what God is doing." And he said, instead of getting mad or angry, he said, "Pray that it'll always be that way. Pray that it'll always be that God would get the glory and not him." So we're going to be looking through the Bible on about walking. Walking. Some of them are good examples. Some of them are bad examples. But it's the whole thing is for me, and hopefully maybe some of you deal with the same struggles, that we'll have a closer walk with Jesus. If you will, turn to Genesis 3:8. We're just going to kind of go start at the beginning and end up in Revelation. Genesis 3:8. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Now, I can't prove this, but the people that I read, most people believe this wasn't God's first time walking in the garden, that he had walked with them before, that in the Garden of Eden, and they at that time were sinless, God was able to walk with them. So that just shows at the beginning that God wants to walk with me. God wants to walk with you. He has a desire to be with us. And how amazing that is, that God cares enough and wants to walk with us. Specks of dust that he created, he wants to walk with us. But this particular time, they had sinned. They believed the lie that Satan gave, that God was holding something good from them. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. They believed that lie. They went in and sinned, and now that relationship was broken, and they were hiding from God. They were hiding from God, and we know the story. God had to send them out of the Garden of Eden, because if they eat of the tree of life, they would have been in that state forever. So out of grace and mercy, he sent them out. But I just wanted to show here in Genesis 3:8 that God has a desire to walk with you, to walk with me. If you'll turn over just a couple of chapters, Genesis 5:22. So that was kind of a bad example there of Adam and Eve, and we're the same way, prone to sin, prone to wander. But this next is a great example, Genesis 5:22. "After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And then, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 11:5 said, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." I was just thinking about in my own life and thinking about, I'm getting a little bit older, starting to think about what would be on my tombstone, what would be on there. And just these two things right here, I thought would be awesome, that he walked with God. If that was like on your tombstone, he walked with God, she walked with God, how, what a great testimony that would be. And then the other one that I thought of in Hebrews, for before he was taken, he had this testimony. He had this testimony in front of others and in front of God that he pleased God. So just think about your marker, your tombstone, that he pleased or she pleased God. What a great testimony that would be. He walked with God. He pleased God. And then I started thinking about it, about Enoch. He didn't have a tombstone because he was taken up. So I started thinking about that. Well, isn't that something? The one that could be written, that could be written about, there was no tombstone to write it on. So I just thought that that's something we can strive to, that we walk with God and that we please him. So we see Adam and Eve, bad example, and then we see Enoch, what a great example he was. If you'll turn over a few more chapters, Genesis 17:1. This is a much longer story. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. And we know that as Abram walked with God, and his name was later changed to Abraham, I can't imagine how close he had to be walking, that he's in that yoke. He was right there beside God, that God asked him to sacrifice not his only son, but the chosen son, Isaac. He asked him to sacrifice him to himself to show that he loved God more than his son. And he trusted God enough to do that. Imagine to be walking that close that you could trust God enough to sacrifice your son for him. It's amazing. So he was willing to walk with God. You could tell he had a close relationship because what he was willing to do for God. We know that God spared that and God provided the lamb. He did not have to go through with that. We know the story. And then in Genesis 48:15, it says, and he is talking about Israel, who was first named Jacob. He blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life to this day. So he's saying here, Jacob blessed Joseph, Israel blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. Also thought about that Jacob is blessing Joseph, his son, and even sons of theirs. But what I wanted to get to is that he was looking at Abraham and Isaac who had walked with God. So what a testimony that is on how sometimes we think about people, well, his daddy maybe, his grandpa was an alcoholic, then his daddy was an alcoholic. What do you think was going to happen to him? That cycle that we're talking about. But what a great cycle this is, that his grandpa walked with God, his daddy walked with God, I'm walking with God, my children are walking. What a tremendous testimony that is. And for some reason, the Jones family, Neil's family, came to my mind. I think about Neil's dad on how the encouragement he gives those boys about studying the Word, about teaching. And then we hear about Joshua coming to speak at the youth retreat coming up, and how that just has gone from generation to generation to generation. And what a blessing that is, that he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, if our children and grandchildren can say that about us, that we walked with God. Okay, the next one's kind of mixed. If you'll be turning to Psalm 51, I think this is probably, I know it is in my own life and maybe in your life, that We have days and we have periods of life where we are walking with God. We're in step with Jesus. And then something takes us off track. Unforgiveness, sin, whatever the case is, something takes us off track. And we need to get back in that yoke and be next to Jesus, walking with Him. Okay, before we read Psalm 51, in Acts 13:22, and it says, "And when He had removed him, when God removed Saul, He raised up for them David as king, to whom also He gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." So God looks on the heart. He saw this guy David. Men wouldn't have chosen, but God chose him, and he was a man after God's own heart. So think about, if he's a man after God's own heart, we can assume that he was walking with God. We can look in the Psalms and all the Psalms that he wrote, that he was walking with God and in step with God. But as happens to a lot of us, myself included, sometimes things gets us off track. We know about the sin that he had with Bathsheba, and then sending her husband to the front line and getting him killed. And this is what you can do to help yourself get back on track. If you get off track, you're not in that yoke, but you're somewhere else tearing up the field. You're not in step with Jesus. Psalm 51, starting with verse 1. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So this man that was a man after God's own heart, a man that had obviously been walking with God, in step with God, is talking here about the Spirit, and we know that Jesus went to heaven and He sent us the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one that's in our hearts. But through that, we can walk with Jesus because of the Spirit. But as like happens to me, like maybe happens to some of you, sometimes we get off track. Our vision gets off. We drop into sin. Something in the world entices us. We get caught up in the world instead of focusing daily on that walk with Christ. We're susceptible to that sin. Like the song says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." Thank the Lord, He's deigned to seal it, that our position is set, but sometimes our fellowship goes off track. And that's what I'm talking about, is our fellowship staying close to Him. Like David, when we fall into sin, we need to go to God and ask for forgiveness with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, humbleness, and bow down to God and ask Him to forgive us, that we want to be back close to Him, restore that fellowship. Okay, now in the New Testament, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 14, talking about a closer walk, with Jesus. Matthew 14:24, But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Thinking about walking now, I don't know if the only ones that I know have walked on water, Jesus and Peter, and Peter had some trouble. I was thinking about our brother Johnny this morning, what he shared in worship. He said he had a couple of really bad weeks, but what I wanted to focus on more is who he came to this morning. He came to the Lord and focused his eyes on the Lord instead of his circumstances. And I think this is what this is talking about here, is that sometimes when we're focused on God, when we're focused on Jesus, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. Things could be, buildings could be crashing, coming down. I think about that story when the guy was in worship, his house was burning down, and basically he just said, "Let it burn." And he was staying there. He was so focused on Jesus Christ. If we could be that focused, be walking that close to Jesus, then these things that happen, even though humanly, yes, they're bad, things are falling down around us, and we don't know where to turn, except we know to turn to Jesus Christ and walk with him. So as Peter, even though Peter was with Jesus, he had his failings. Sometimes he sank and didn't walk as he should walk. And the same goes for us. So we can learn from his example to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Okay, then the perfect example, if you'll turn to Luke 21. Luke 21, always, when I give these examples, it's hard for me to not give this example, but then I think to myself, well, we can never go to that example. When you give the example of Jesus, he's the Son of God, he was perfect, but we used to strive to be like him with the Holy Spirit's help, with his help. We're to be more and more like him every day. Luke 21:37, "And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet." And then in Luke 22:39, it says, "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed." And I want to focus on that. "As he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him there. When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, 'Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.'" Just thinking about the Son of God, about his walking here on earth, that even he, it says, that he one day he was teaching, preaching, and then that night he went to the Mount of Olivet, is what they said here. And then coming out in Luke 22:39, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. So this just wasn't just a one-time thing. He was accustomed to going and spending one-on-one time with his Father, asking his Father, praying to his Father for help, to not his will, but the Father's will be done. He was laying his human will aside and going with the Father's will. And I just thought to myself, if Jesus did that, if he was in the custom of doing that, how much more do I need it? How much more do I need to daily spend time with God, not just on Sunday morning, not just once in a while here or there, but daily I need to be going and spending time with God in reading his word and prayer. Then I think about the disciples, how maybe they didn't know, understand everything, what was coming, but he came back to them and found them sleeping, I think it was three times. And how sometimes maybe that's us. I remember Dr. Jeff said one time about being, I think he was talking about being righteous and spending time with God and things like that. And one of his leaders when he was younger growing up, he said, you need to spend money on having a good alarm clock. Well, sometimes I'm going to confess, I need a good one that doesn't have a snooze button on it. So we need to, if we know that Jesus did that, and I think about the disciples, maybe they didn't understand it, but they fell asleep, and we saw what happened to them, all of them. Peter denied him. All of them scattered. We heard today that, yes, John did come back. He was there at the cross, but we don't hear about the rest of them, that they scattered. And I wonder, maybe this was one of the reasons here, that they fell asleep. Jesus was telling them, you need to be praying, you're going to be tempted, and they were falling asleep. How that convicts me some days. Okay, the next one, if you'll turn to Luke 24:13. This is the one about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, 24:13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. This is when Jesus had died and he'd been resurrected, but they didn't know it yet. They couldn't find the body. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. So Jesus was walking with them, but they didn't know it. He had blinded them of his identity. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have not you known the things which happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as they were set with him at the table, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? I just thought about those two disciples walking to Emmaus, and on the way Jesus comes unbeknownst to them. The risen Jesus is walking with them. And what a privilege that was for them, that he was walking down that road with them, and how their heart was so excited that he expounded the scriptures and he taught them. And thinking about them, he said, well, I'm going to go on further. And they said, no, stay with us. Stay with us. He wanted them to abide, to stay there. They wanted to walk close. And I think about us, what a privilege we have through the Holy Spirit and God's Word, that we have that privilege every day or every minute or every hour, that we have that same privilege that the Holy Spirit can teach us, and how it's not, it shouldn't be, and I'll say this about Jenna again, a lot of times, like on a Saturday, we'll say, well, what are you going to do today? And she said, I'm going to go spend some time with Jesus. And it's not like I've got to go read my Bible. But I want to get to know Jesus better. I want to get to know him better today. And I think that's what these disciples were seeing. They didn't want him to leave. They wanted him to stay with us. They wanted to, they had that excitement in their heart that they were getting to know him better, and they got to see the risen Jesus. And then going to the end, if you look at Revelation 21, we remember God walking through the Garden of Eden. Just a few minutes ago, we talked about that in Genesis and how he was walking in the cool of the evening. And we believe that was probably something that he did other than that, just that one time, that he was walking with them, that they were in a perfect state. But even though as great as the Garden of Eden was, this is even going to be greater, what we get to look forward to. Revelation 21:1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." So we're looking forward to that day. We talked to several people today about looking for him coming back. We're looking forward to that day being with him. And as we saw David, as we saw Peter, some of the ones in the faith that we would consider the top ones, they fell by the wayside. They were looking at circumstances. They were falling asleep, denying our Lord and Savior. But when we get to that day, we're going to be perfect. We're going to be like him. He's going to tabernacle with us. And I can just think about us walking with Jesus down the road through a pasture, a beautiful pasture, green land, and just getting to hear him talk to us and spend time with him. But until that day, I was listening to Tim Tebow the other day, and he was talking about, I think he wrote a book, I think this is the name of, This Is the Day. So even though we're looking forward to that day, we still have God's Word, we still have the Holy Spirit, that today is the day. Let's don't wait. Well, when we get to heaven, then we'll get to know him better. Let's get to know him better today. This is the day that we should spend time with him, to walk with him, be close to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just some practical ways in closing. Practical ways that hurt our walk. Sin that's not confessed, laziness, worldly distractions, unforgiveness, bad habits, etc. There's things that throw us off when we're in that yoke and we're walking with Jesus, and then we start looking around and we go off on our own way. Those things can happen. And if those do happen, we are to confess our sins to make it right and to get back in that yoke, get back walking close to Jesus. Some practical ways that help our walk, and I'm going to share a song with you. Again, I hope it's not inappropriate, but to me, the song, sometimes I can't remember all the things that were said, but sometimes a song will stick with me longer, and I'll remember the message better. So that's why I do it, or why I'm doing it. But some ways that, practical ways to help our walk are daily. This song's going to talk about a daily walk. It's not once a week or once a month. One thing that I'm so thankful for about the Reidsville Bible Chapel is we remember the Lord on the first day of the week. The group that I grew up with, it was like once every 3 months. So just doing that on a consistent weekly basis has meant so much to me, that we keep Jesus in the forefront. And then this daily, I believe, is coming before him in prayer, coming before him, reading his word and getting to know him, walking with him. Even when we're at work, he's still with us. Even when we're at a ball game or wherever we are, Jesus is with us 100% of the time. We should be walking close to him wherever we are. Daily, intentional. We have to intend to do it. It's not just going to happen by being lazy, like I'm going to walk with Jesus today and I'll just stumble into him. No, it's got to be intentional. I'm going to make this walk with Jesus. I'm going to get to know him better. Focus time with Christ, that we've got to focus I know when in my own life I'm thinking about 8:20 when that bell's going to ring and all those kids are coming in there. And I'm thinking about, now, what are we going to go over today? We've got to try to clear our minds and focus on Jesus Christ before I'll be a much better teacher when I spend time with the Lord and go and look at them like He looked at me with that love and compassion. So daily, intentional, focus time with Christ. Yield to the Holy Spirit daily. Don't grieve Him, but yield to Him. Love God and others. Purpose in our heart to give God the glory in every situation. One thing that would satisfy, I believe, God more than anything is looking down from heaven and seeing us in that yoke, walking in step with Jesus Christ to His glory, not to our glory, but we're with Him and He gets the glory. God gets the glory because we're in step with Jesus. I was going to go through a little bit more, but I think I'm going to skip that. The song, if Joe can cue that up for us, I'm just going to go over real quick. It's called Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And there's thousands of different people that sing it. And I couldn't find one exactly like I wanted, like the one that's number one or whatever I didn't think was the best one for this situation. But if you'll just listen to the words, I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee, granted Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee, granted Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
You know, it should be the desire of every one of us who profess the name of Christ that we walk as close to Jesus as we can. Hope you enjoy this old song. I'll be satisfied.
Okay, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we saw in Genesis and Revelation that you desire to walk with us. We don't understand it, that you would want to walk with us, pieces of clay, but you do, that you sent your Son to die for us where we could have that relationship, that we can be with you forever. If you desire to walk with us, how much more we should daily want to walk with you, walk with your Son, walk in the Spirit. And we just thank you for loving us that much. Pray that for myself especially, that you'll help me to walk closer to your Son. In his name I pray. Amen.